Welcome to Tuesday night prayer service. We've come to seek the Lord and to share his burden and also the burdens of one another and to come before God on behalf of the needs that are presented as well as those that are in our hearts. The scripture says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Hallelujah. We believe in a God who answers prayer, a God who said, he that hath the ear hath made the ear, shall he not hear? Tonight we've come to seek the Lord and to pray, and I want to begin tonight by praying for our upcoming Christmas program this coming Friday and all day Sunday. We want to take a moment. We want to pray for Greg Thomas and the staff, music ministry staff. We want to pray for this choir. How many of you appreciate this choir that leads us in worship week after week, service after service? We love you so much. And we want to pray for this music ministry. We want to pray for the choir. We want to pray for God's glory to come down this Friday and all day Sunday. Amen. That God will quicken this choir, that God will use them for his glory, that the anointing will come on the choir members and those that are part of the Christmas production, the cast, and that God will open the door, that the Lord will open up the door for us to be able to reach out to folks and invite them, and that they'll come this coming weekend and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and believe God to do great things. You know, before my wife got saved and before we were even married, I was witnessing to her. We worked in the same place, and I had invited her to go to a revival meeting. And I was praying for her, and praying for her, for God to get a hold of her heart. And she told me this. She said, you know, I tried everything I possibly could to come up with an excuse to tell you I can't come. And when I showed up at her door, she said, I'm coming, you know, and folks, the power of prayer, she came and she got saved. Hallelujah. And so tonight we want to pray for those that we would even be able to reach out to. We have cards and we're going to be announcing those cards, and we want you to pick up one of those cards for this coming weekend so you can hand them out to as many as you possibly can, so we can believe God to bring folks to pack this place, amen, and for folks to hear the gospel. Can we believe God for that tonight? Amen. I want you to begin to lift your voice tonight. Pray for the cast members. Pray for Greg Thomas, his staff. I want you to stretch forth your hands right now towards this choir, this music ministry. And I want you to begin to lift your voice tonight. You begin to pray for them. Pray for the speaker that will be closing out the meeting, that God will fill their mouths with the right words, and that God will give us divine appointments this week as we hand out flyers. Come on, you take two minutes and begin to lift your voice right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We just thank you, God, this evening, God. Lord, we lift up our voices, oh God, for this Christmas, oh God, carol, Lord God. Lord, we pray for the choir tonight. We lift up Greg Thomas, Lord God. Lord, we lift up the music ministry, God. We do cry out for them, God. Lord, we do ask that you'd help them, God, even as they come and they serve. Lord, even as they come and they minister, God. Lord, we ask only for you, God. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, we ask that you fill them anew, God. You said, how much more, Lord, would you give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? So tonight we come, oh God, crying out, Lord God. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you fill them anew, God. Lord, we ask for your heart, God. Lord, we ask, oh God, that every song, oh God, would be lifted up. Lord, they would lift up their voice in one accord. Lord, like the Levites of old, oh God. The Bible says they sang, oh God. Lord, God, and the glory came down, Lord God. Lord, that God, and they couldn't stand to minister because of your glory that had filled the temple. Lord, so we come asking, oh God. We asking of you, God. We need you, God. Lord, we need you, God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, oh God. But only you can do this, oh God. Only your glory, God. Only your presence, Lord. Only your power, Lord. Only your word, God. Lord, we cry out, Lord Jesus. Lord, we're asking, oh God, for your own namesake. Lord, touch our city, God. Lord, touch our neighbors, oh God. Lord, our community, God. Lord, our co-workers. Give us the courage, oh God. Lord, to invite somebody, oh God. We do ask you for open doors, oh God. We do ask, oh God Almighty, that we will not be afraid, oh God, or intimidated, oh God. We ask for your heart, Lord God. Lord, for somebody around us, oh God, who is going through it, oh God. Lord God, that we be sensitive, oh God. God. Lord, help us to be sensitive. Lord, help us to care. Lord, to be compassionate, God. Lord, for the glory of your name, God. Lord, as you did for us, oh God. Lord, you did it for us, oh God. Lord, as you touched us, oh God. Lord Almighty, God Almighty, as you reached out for us, oh God. My God. My God, my God, as you came to us, oh God, Lord, as you spoke to us, oh God, Lord, you do the same for those around us, oh God, in our communities, oh God, Lord, glorify your name. We thank you for Friday. We thank you for Sunday, God, Lord, 10 o'clock and 3 and 6, glorify your name. Lord, we praise you tonight, God, in advance, oh God, Lord, for your name's sake, oh God, Lord, heal, God, Lord, deliver, God, Lord, and we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor in advance in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen and amen. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, give God glory, folks. He said prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We're going to continue to worship him, and you can be seated, you can stand, but let's worship the Lord this evening. Amen. God bless you. How many here tonight need a miracle? By a show of hands, you need a miracle in a particular situation, circumstance in your home, family, life. Okay. All right. I want everyone to take a look around you at these hands around you. I want ladies with ladies, men with men to put a hand on each other's shoulder tonight. We're going to take a moment and pray for one another. Ladies with ladies, men with men. And we're going to take a moment to begin to pray for one another and believe God to work a miracle tonight. Come on, cross the aisles. Stand with your brothers and sisters tonight in the Lord. Folks, we need one another. This is one family, one body, one house. We're going to stand together with one another and believe God for one another. Begin to lift your voice. Take 2-3 minutes. Begin to pray for one another right now. Let's believe God for a miracle tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, you see the cry of our heart. You see the longing of our heart. God, we need a miracle tonight. Lord, there are needs around us, God, where we need the Holy Spirit to show up. God, we're a people that has great need. We need God. We need more of you in our life, Lord. God, we're asking for a supernatural presence of the issues in our heart, the issues that we're praying about tonight, God. Lord, that you walk among every aisle, every seat that's in this sanctuary. Oh, God, everybody who's listening, Lord, we're asking in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit respond. God, you're not a God whose arm is not short. Your ear is open to our cry. Your eye is open to our need, and you respond in a mighty way. God, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus, our advocate, our Savior, the banner over us, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. God, we're asking for miracles. We're asking for a mighty move of the hand of God in our lives right now, God. You see us. You see us in our thoughts. You see us in our issues. You see us in our families. You see us in our finances. You see us in our health. God, we need God to show up. Lord, it's not enough for the plan of man. We need God to show up in a supernatural way. And we call on the living God. We call on the name of the Lord. And we believe you, God. Increase our faith even tonight, Lord, to believe that what you said for us is true. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, God, we pray. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have covenant relationship with you, that you promised these things to us, and we expect, we believe in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Folks, give God thanks. Give God thanks for responding to the cry of your heart tonight. Give him thanks because he's a good God. He wants to respond. He is responding. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. We're going to come to the Lord's table at this time. And communion here at Times Square Church is an open table, which means if you're visiting and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to partake together with us. Doesn't mean you have it all together, but that you're trusting, that you have trusted in the Lord for your salvation. And that you know this evening that you are forgiven and that you are part of his family. Praise God. as I was thinking about tonight and our time together, the Lord continues to remind me that nothing can separate us from His love. Hallelujah. Not any type of tribulation, trial, not any type of temptation. There's nothing that can pluck us out of His hand. We stand before Christ. We stand in Christ complete, the scripture says. Complete. He's done it all. He's paid it all. Hallelujah. And so you and I don't have to work to be accepted. We can't be more accepted and more loved than we are at this point in time, folks. He loves you with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. And it doesn't matter what type of day you've had, what type of week you've had, what type of month you've had, what type of year you've had. Hallelujah. You are loved of God. You are accepted in the Beloved. You stand before Him righteous. You stand before Him holy. You stand before Him cleansed. You stand before Him completely forgiven. He doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. Aren't you glad tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise tonight. Don't let the devil condemn you. Don't let him steal your song. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let him steal your song. The scripture reminds us that we're to, you know, Paul talks about the fact that we constantly have to be reminded of these things. We have to stay. It's almost, the picture is almost of a boat that's anchored in a particular port. And sometimes, you know, just the situations and the circumstances and the things we face throughout our lives can cause us to almost begin to drift from these truths, where we begin to drift from these truths. And of course, the enemy's always there to remind you and I of what we've done or what we haven't done. Are you with me tonight? Amen. But tonight we know that we are forgiven and that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of what Christ has done tonight and not because of our own works or our own faithfulness. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight that we can come boldly to your throne of grace to obtain mercy in our time of help. Lord, mercy. We can come to obtain mercy and help in our time of need. God, we thank you that your work is complete. It's perfect. Your sacrifice was complete. It's perfect. You have done it all. And tonight we stand before you accepted. God, we honor you tonight and we celebrate this meal. We celebrate your finished work in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Praise the Lord. What a glorious God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was looking in the monitor and I was like, who's that old man getting up? And it was me. Oh man. Time flies when you're having fun. Amen. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your wonderful presence. Thank you that we can trust you with all that we are. You are a good God. And you have opened your heart to us and invited us in and allowed us, Lord, not just to understand your laws and your ways and so on. You've invited us into your heart to know you. You volunteered your person to us and trusted us with your love. And that means everything to us. So we're asking you to speak to us, Lord. It's not enough for us to glean a few precepts and concepts and a couple of proverbs and axioms and maybe a few ways how we ought to live. No, God, we want to walk with you. We're asking you to speak to us now. We thank you. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. I have a prophetic word this evening, and it is a prophecy of hope. And it is specifically for anyone. The Lord spoke to me this afternoon while I was speaking with one of my friends. And just as we're talking, this word just begins to develop in my mouth. It's just coming out, and I realize the Lord is doing something. And then later on, I just continued to pray, and the Lord said there's somebody who just feels like they're not going to be able to fulfill the call of God on their life. It was sort of strange. It wasn't like they felt gloom and doom over their head. It's just that they weren't sure that they were going to fulfill what God had called them to be and to do And it's based on just a simple lie of the enemy that just keeps coming relentlessly. It's not a complicated lie. It's not one where you have to open up, you know, five commentaries and, you know, 10, you know, theologies and a couple of concordances to try and work your way around. It's a very simple lie. And it's clearly a lie, but it's relentless. Keeps coming and coming and coming. And the Lord wanted me to do everything that I could to relay a message that he wants to share with your heart. When you consider, and I've been considering this for the last few months, the children of Israel and their move from a place of bondage to a place of liberty, you remind yourself that as they began to move into what God had called them to do and who God had called them to be, the Egyptians at a certain point decided that they were going to run after them. Now, you have to understand they had been utterly defeated. They had no strength to overcome Israel because they knew that God was fighting on Israel's behalf. They knew that their military could not overpower Israel, even though their military was countless times stronger than Israel. Israel had no military, but Israel had the Lord. And after 10 plagues had come upon the people and the armies and the so-called gods of the Egyptians, they knew that they were defeated and they knew that they could not overtake or overpower or overcome or overwhelm the Israelites. But they pursued anyway because of their pride, because of their arrogance. So likewise, this is the way of the enemy. He's already defeated. He knows he can't overtake you. He knows that the Lord is fighting on your behalf. He knows that the stars in their courses are fighting against him. And yet he relentlessly attacks because of his arrogancy, because of his hubris, because of his pride. And so as the children of Israel were moving into the promise of God on their life, the enemy thought that he would make one last ditch effort to overwhelm them. And I'm taking it for granted that he probably knew that the only thing that he might have of value against them would be ultimately a lie. The military wouldn't work. The political structure wouldn't work. The bonds were already dropped to the ground, and so they had no power to enslave the children of Israel. But they thought that maybe, just maybe, if they got close enough to them, they could convince them that the promises of God could not suffice the difficulties of the wilderness. And maybe they would get close enough, just close enough, to remind them, to remind the Israelites of their past and to remind them of the bondage that was up until that point synonymous with their existence. The bondage with which they had to, up until that point, readily identify. They would come and they would basically say to them, you know what you used to be like and you know what you've been through. And you know that you can't live outside of my jurisdiction and outside of my provision and outside of my permission. You know you can't go one step without me. This is what the enemy comes saying to the Israelites in those days and what he would try and say to anyone in this room in these days as we move deeper and deeper into the promises of God. The enemy knows he can't get through. As he got closer to the Israelites, well, the cloud that had gone before them simply lifted up and stood behind them and stood between them and their enemy. So now the enemy couldn't pass a certain point. The Lord stood and basically said this far and no farther, but the enemy could still yell. He could still shout. There was nothing he could actually do. He had to depend upon the fact that the people of Israel were going to give him their attention. He had no other power. He had no other strength besides the fact that the children of Israel might give him their attention. And so they would shout from behind the Shekinah. They couldn't get to the Israelites, so they would shout. And they would probably say things, now I'm speculating, but they would probably say things, as I mentioned, like, where do you think you're going? What do you think you're going to accomplish? What makes you think you can be a blessing to the nations as God promised? You have no history. You have no nation. You have no political structure. You have no administrative structure. You have no military. What makes you think you can go ahead? And if they had chosen to listen, even though the enemy was hamstrung and overwhelmed in every sense of the word, had no power to do anything, the 10 plagues robbed him of all of his strength and humiliated all of his so-called gods so that he had absolutely no power. All he had was the power of suggestion. And all he needed to have happen was for the children of Israel to give him their attention and to cause them to believe a lie. Now, what I want to suggest to you is God, in his wisdom, realizes that there are times when we will have lapses in judgment and will give the enemy more attention than he deserves. So God has set up a certain level of safeguard around us. In fact, certain levels of safety around us to protect us from ever going back. And that's why the Lord instructed me to entitle this message, How I Know You're Going to Stand. Because sometimes the enemy would try to convince us that we're not going to stand, that we're going to fall, or that we're going to fail. And then, as a minister in my case or something to that effect, I might say, I know that you're not going to fall. I know that you're going to be kept. I know that you're going to stand. Well, what I want to do is do a little bit more than simply say, I know that you're going to stand. I want to tell you how I know that you're going to stand. I'm going to tell you why I can confidently stand here and tell you, you are not going to fall. How I can confidently tell you, you will fulfill your call in the name of the Lord Jesus. You will fulfill the destiny that God has placed upon your life. And there is nothing that the devil can do to stop it. See, it begins with this. Remember the children of Israel, they're on this side, you know, they're on the side of the Red Sea before they go across. And the enemy is lying and he's intimidating and he's doing everything he can to extort and he's trying to rob them of who they are. And Moses at a certain point says to the children of Israel, as they begin to give the enemy too much attention, you have to understand, they begin to fear, they begin to worry, even though that pillar of fire is between them and their enemy. And that's what we do sometimes. We're human and sometimes we listen a little bit too long. And they begin to worry, right? They begin to wonder. And Moses says, as we heard before, Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And then God goes even further and God speaks a word over them. And God's word is very simple. You ever notice we preach long sermons, but God doesn't preach long sermons. His sermons are really short and to the point. In this case, it was a one-pointer. Go forward. Hallelujah. Don't let anything stop you. Go forward just because God said so. And so I want to say the first level of protection that would assure them of victory is a word from God spoken over their lives and spoken into their situation. One word from God dispelling 1,000 lies of the devil. One word from God, erasing and effacing every kind of lie that you might have heard your entire life. One word from God. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. One word, one word, one word from God. I can't get too rowdy because I got a single. So I'm trying to keep it smooth. Amen. One word from God is enough to dispel everything you might have heard, every negative thing you might have heard, every evil word against you, every kind of mockery against you, every curse that's ever been spoken against you. Every time somebody told you that you weren't worth anything or that you didn't have anything to contribute, every one of those words, one capital W word, one word from God. The word of God. And the word came as a protection. And not only that, but again, I mentioned the presence, that glorious Shekinah. And God always reminds me that that Shekinah was not just there to keep the Israelites, or rather the Egyptians, from coming to the Israelites, but it was also there, he was also there, to keep the Israelites from going back. Remember, they kept saying, man, oh man, we might as well have stood in Egypt. And sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we're like, at least I understood it. At least it was familiar. At least, I mean, I was raised in that. I know that. I mean, maybe that's, maybe, you know, this is just sometimes too hard. And sometimes part of us wants to just draw back, but that Shekinah is right there saying, oh, no, you don't. You ain't going back. I don't care how your day happened to go. You ain't going back. I don't care how difficult it seems. You ain't going back. I don't care how insurmountable the promises and the whatever obstacles might stand between you and the promises, you're not going back. Every now and again, I just feel like, God, I don't know if I can. And before I can even finish my sentence, God is like, oh, no, 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 no. I am not hearing that. He said, you might give the devil 1 or 2 minutes of your time, but I ain't giving him none of mine. Right? You know what I mean? I'm not listening to it. Remember Joshua, the high priest, goes in to pray before the Lord, and he's, you know, his clothes are not as clean as he'd like, and this, that, and the other, and the enemy is standing at his right hand to oppose him, and the Lord shuts the devil down just like that. The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. I love the way the King James says it. In our language, it would be more like, Satan, shut up! Shut up! Because God has pulled this person out with his own hand. He said, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? I pulled him out myself. I'm not going to listen to one word. One word. There are these levels of protection. God's word over us and God's Shekinah over us and God's promise to us. They move into a promise. And that promise has a power to draw one. It's a covenant promise. It's a promise that has a gravitational pull. When God begins to place a promise on your life, it draws you. It begins to develop you. It begins to define you. It begins to tell you things like, you can't hang out over there anymore because God has got a promise on your life. It begins to say, you can't be in that relationship anymore because God has got a promise on your life. You can't do this anymore. You can't do that anymore. Now you need to be doing this. Now you need to be doing that. You can't be hanging out in that circle anymore. You know you shouldn't be calling this person on the phone anymore. That ain't your wife. It's something about the promise of God that begins to define our situation and begins to remind us you're more than that. There's more to you than that. There's a promise on your life. You have a destiny. God has placed a destiny on your life. I'm not going to sit back, it'll say to you and to me. I'm not going to sit back and watch you blow this. God has done something in your life and it will be fulfilled. So we start moving toward that promise because that promise has a way of drawing us, pulling us into its gravitational field and making us into the kind of person that God has called us to be. So there's that word, and there's that presence, there's that promise, and there's that testimony. There's something in us whenever we feel like drawing back that says, but what about the testimony of the Lord? The Lord said to these people that they would be a blessing to the nations. In them, all the families of the earth will be blessed. What about my testimony to this society? What about my testimony to my children, to the next descendants? So, you know, whether it's biological, whether it's spiritual, what about my testimony to those who are looking to see what God has done in my life? What about my testimony? I was saying on Sunday, you know, sometimes it's hard to sing because we hear some things going on in our generation. But I said, what happens to this world if we stop singing? What happens if we stop singing? My goodness, I don't want to live in a world where Christians ain't singing. Because without the song of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this society. So sometimes we feel like holding back our song a little bit, and then we hear God say, but what happens if you don't sing? Sometimes you get a little bit shy, you know what I mean? And there's some people in here, I know, I hear you, I know some people in here can sing, and you ain't in the choir. I'm not saying you can sing, I'm saying you can sing. There's a couple people that can sing in there. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm like, why ain't you in the choir? You know what I mean? And sometimes there's a little bit of fear there, you know what I mean? Or maybe you've been burned out in another church or whatever the case, but let me tell you, there comes a time when you have to ask yourself a question. What happens to the world if I don't sing? At first, it seems like a grandiose, almost like a delusion of grandeur. Like, what difference does it make if I sing? But it does matter if you sing. You see the scriptures and you see how God saves nations, giving nations one more opportunity to turn because one person in that community happened to be a worshiper of the Lord. What happens to this world if you don't sing? So sometimes I don't feel like singing, but then I ask myself, what happens if I don't? What happens to this world if there is no song coming from the church? So we go on doing what we do, not because it's easy, not because we're not shy, not because we're not afraid, but because we are more afraid of what happens to our brothers and sisters, what happens to the lost, what happens to the world. What happens if we choose not to be ourselves and not to do what God has called us to do? So this is another level, another layer of protection. Another layer is the body of Christ itself. Think about all those people moving through the Red Sea on dry land, how God opens up the waters, and all these people are moving. One of the things that you're going to find is as all these people are moving, there's going to be some jostling and there's going to be some pushing. And sometimes, you know, that's the way it is when you're in the body of Christ. You feel like you're being pushed every now and again. You feel like you're being nudged a little bit. You feel like you're being jostled a little bit. And it don't always feel good. But you ever notice, think about being in that great throng of people and all of them are moving together at the same time. How hard would it have been? Think about the fact, 600,000 people plus women and children and so on and so forth. When they say people, they say 600. They mean people between the age of 20 and about 60. That means people who are able to fight in the military. And then all the other people besides. So 600,000 fighting men plus women, plus the children, plus the elderly, plus the mixed multitude, so on and so forth. Think about how hard it would have been if you're in that throng, how hard, and it's all moving, right? Like a river. Right? You know what I mean? You should have seen it. Oh my goodness, I'm thinking in my mind's eye. I can see things in my mind's eye. You know what I mean? You got the waters open on either side, and then you got this river running through the sea. A river of people moving toward a promise. How difficult do you think it would have been to say, you know what, I think I'm tired of this. I think I'll go back to Egypt. Not easy when you got a couple of million people pushing you on. It's not easy to turn when you're a part of a family. Not easy to turn. The family might jostle you a little bit, might push you a little bit. Not here. I'm just saying that's why I'm talking loud, because I'm talking to the people in the church across the way. And I'm saying, in that church, you know, people might push and jostle and get on your nerves a little bit. You know, but that's all right. It's still your family. It's still your family. And without them, it would be a whole lot easier to turn back. But when they're pushing you on, and we were all moving toward a certain goal, and we're moving with a certain amount of momentum, it becomes almost impossible to turn and go back. So you have this wonderful word. You have this glorious presence. You have this promise that draws you. You have this testimony, this sense of responsibility. You have the body of Christ. And then if you thought you might be able to slip out, my goodness, you got the walls on either side of you. The walls which represents the work of God. Remember Jesus said, if the word is not enough for you, then look at my work. The miracles all around you. Your own life, a miracle. There is no way you and I could be sitting where we're sitting if not for the miracle of new birth. Even if we had slipped through all the people and almost got through, there would still be the walls over this side. Think about it. The promise drawing you over here, your family pushing you on over here, the walls that cannot be denied. As soon as you got through, you'd have to look at those walls and remind yourself of the God that you serve. And even if you can get through all that, you still got to get back and be confronted with the Shekinah. Where are you going to go? Remember what Peter said? Where am I going to go? Level after level, layer after layer of protection, of provision. I know you're going to stand. I know you're going to be who God has called you to be. I know it. And if that wasn't enough, they were a new people and they knew it. There was something in them that says, I don't belong there anymore. God called them by his name, drew them out. He said, I've heard the cry of my people, and I'm coming to deliver them. I'm coming to help them. I'm coming to be there for them. I'm coming to strengthen them. I'm coming to encourage them. I'm coming to enliven them. And every now and again, you and I have just got to look into the mirror. Not a normal mirror. No, not a normal mirror. That normal mirror is not good enough because it doesn't have any power to convey. When we look in the mirror, it's only coming from our own heart. This is what I see. This is what I see in myself. And no, there's another mirror. I want to tell you what it is. If you and I choose to look into the eyes of God, we will not only see ourselves, but we will see how he looks at us. When I look in the mirror, it's just one way thing. Everything that I'm seeing is something that I'm conveying. I'm conveying. I'm conveying. I always tell people, you know, the two people that's probably the two people that you know the most you've never seen in your life. You know what I mean? One, you know, unless you've had an epiphany or a revelation, one is God, right? And the other is yourself. You've never seen yourself. You know that, right? Right? You see reflections of yourself. You've never, ever seen your own face. Right? What I'm suggesting, though, is when I'm looking into the mirror, I think I'm seeing my face. I'm seeing some expression, and I think I'm... But God knows my heart better than I do. So a cold, dry mirror is not going to tell me much except what I already think. When I look into the eyes of God, he's going to tell me what he thinks. He's going to say to me, you don't know yourself the way I do. You've never seen yourself, but I see you. You've seen images of yourself. You've seen flashes of yourself. But I know you inside and out. I cleansed you. I purified you. I called you by my name. I made you my son. I made you my daughter. I have given you my own name. And so when we think about quitting or giving up or going back or letting go or just not fulfilling, no, we have to say, no, that's not me. I don't belong in that place. I don't need to sit and listen to the lie of the devil. See, when Moses said to the people of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of your Lord, the problem was the longer they stood still, the more they entertained the lie. It was time to move on. And there comes a time in our lives when we realize, you know what, I'm not just going to sit still and listen to this anymore. It's time for me to move on. I'm just not going to listen. Every now and again, I'm like, you know, you know how when kids are just starting to learn how to speak and they're just starting to kind of convey their emotions, and one of the very first words that they learn is no. You know what I mean? Well, I'm like that sometimes in the spirit. Now, you understand, I've been studying this for a long time, and I've gone to schools, but when the enemy lies to me, I just don't try to work it out theologically. I don't try. I like to study and understand why, you know, I like to learn how to worship the Lord and to worship him right, you know, to worship him in spirit and in truth. But when the enemy's trying to lie to me, I'm not going to try to work that out. I simply say no. It's easy. I mean, my fights are over really quickly. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I don't waste time, right? You know what I'm saying? For me, you know, you see sometimes, you know, those old-fashioned karate flicks, I mean, they be, you know, they fight for like a half an hour in chains. No, not me. You know what I mean? One shot, it's over. You know what I'm talking about? No. I just don't have time for it. I'm not going to try to argue the devil down. I'm not going to try to figure out where he's wrong and why he's wrong and this and that and the other thing. Simply, no. I'm not listening. Thank you very much. No. I don't believe it. Thank you very much. No. I won't hear it. Thank you very much. Fight over. That's it. It's done. Now I can turn around and go to sleep. Because I just don't have time for it. Do you understand? There are other things that I have to do. I got bigger fish to fry. You know what I'm talking about? Tomorrow there's going to be somebody that's going to come to you and that's going to come to me and that's going to need somebody to be there for them. Going to need somebody to hold them up in prayer. Going to need somebody to walk with them and talk with them. Need somebody to be, just to hold their hand. I don't have time to entertain a lie. I just don't have that much time on my schedule. You understand what I'm saying? It's just not there. For every 5 seconds I'm arguing with the devil, I could be praying for somebody's life. I could be helping somebody along the way. I just don't have time for it. So my whole theology against the devil, you know, they got these, you know, demonologies and this, that. I mean, forget it. My whole theology with regard to the devil, my whole demonology is no. No. Doesn't matter what he says, no. Doesn't matter what he brings, no. It's easy. I'll tell you, I'm going to give you one lesson in theology. This is it, right? A whole theology lesson in one word. No. You don't have to listen. No. You don't have to hear it. No. You don't have to entertain it. There comes a time when you simply say, no more. No more. I'm not going to wait until tomorrow. I'm not going to try and wrestle. I'm not going to try and work it out. No. And that leads me to my last point. I could never go back because I would never give the devil the satisfaction. I would never give him the satisfaction. Never. Ever give him anything to wave in the face of God. The thought of him saying, with regard to me, to God, I thought you could keep your people. What happened here? No, 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 no. I couldn't. Couldn't. God and me, we go back too far. We've had too much. I would never let his name. And this is nothing that I do in my own strength. You understand? We talked about all these ways God keeps us. But the farther you go back, the more you hear the taunts of the devil. You belong to me. You can't eat without me. You can't sleep without me. You can't go without me, this and the other. And the enemy will try and tell us that. If you're going to survive in this generation, you got to do it the devil's way. If you're going to have a nice little income and a nice little family, and this, you know what I mean? If you're going to finally get married or finally have, you got to go this route, got to go that route. You can't eat without me. You can't live without me. You can't love without me and all this nonsense. Don't argue with him. Just say no. Don't argue. You have the power to say no, right? I mean, I'm telling you this from the Holy Scriptures, right? I'm not Nancy Reagan. I'm not trying to, you know, tell you that in your own strength somehow you can say no. See how old I am? I'm trying to tell you. This is something that you do in the power of God. This is something that you do in Jesus' name. You have the power to say no. Now, I'm going to suggest these points one more time before we go. I'm just going to rattle them off. These levels of protection. You have the word of God that's spoken over you that says, go forward. Don't just stand still. You have the presence of God, the Shekinah, that stands between you and your enemy. You have the promise of God that draws you and molds you and shapes you and says, this is who you actually are, and I'm not going to sit back and let you be anything less. You have the testimony of God that basically says, I'm supposed to testify to the goodness of God. God said, I'm going to be a blessing to the nations. You have the body of Christ that pushes you, and that pushes you farther, pushes you deeper into prayer, pushes you along as you work together, live together, love together, even if you have to strive sometimes together, your family. Even if you get pushed and jostled a little bit, your family. And we need each other to do what God has called us to do. You have the miracles of God in your life. Count your blessings, right? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of his benefits. Write them down. Sing them out to God. Bear witness to your neighbors. Tell people what God has done. You have your identity, your liberty. You know who you are in Christ. You don't belong back there. You don't belong in a place of despondency or of despair. You don't belong in a place of doubt or distrust. You don't belong in a place of disappointment or depression. You belong to God. And to remind yourself of that is to say no to the lie of the devil. And then finally, don't give the devil the satisfaction. Don't give him the satisfaction. It's all right to go through difficult times and hard times, but you bring it to God. You lift your hands to God and say, God, I know you know how to keep me. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I've been doing this thing for a little while, so I'm not talking to you from a perspective of naivety. I know that you're not going to fall. I know that you're going to stand. I know it because I know what God has done to ensure it. I know what God has done to safeguard your soul. I just pointed out 6 or 7 things, but there we could go on and on. It's all through the scriptures. You take your Bible at home tonight and you watch and you see how many layers of safety are all around you. I know you're not going to fail. I know you're not going to fall. I know you're going to stand. I know you're going to fulfill the commission of God in your life. I know you're going to do exactly what God said you're going to do. I know that God has invested in you everything that's necessary to fulfill it. I know that God is going to cause everything that he promised to you to come to fruition in its proper time. I know that every day that you're living, you're growing closer and closer to Christ and drawing closer and closer to the fulfillment of the promises of God on your life. I know that every difficulty and every hardship and every stress and every strain is just making you stronger, just building you more and more, because it's causing you to be weak in your own strength and strong in the strength of Christ. The Lord said, when I am weak, then I'm strong. Amen. Paul reminds us that the Lord is our strength. And so what I want to suggest to you is the devil is lying to you. If you feel like you can't fulfill the call of God on your life, the devil's lying to you. And I'm suggesting to you, you don't need to argue him down. And you don't have to have a different argument every different day and every different argument that he brings. All you need is one argument every single day, same old argument all the time. Because whether you know it or not, the devil is bringing the same old lie all the time. He might couch it in different words and it might sound different, but basically what he's saying is God is not who he said he is, and therefore you're not who he said you are. Paul said, I am what I am because of the grace of God. So if God is not who he's supposed to be, then I'm not who I think I am. But no, we know that that's a lie. God is who he is. So all I have to do is say no. I'm not hearing a single word. Remember, I say this and I close. Remember how the Lord said with regard to Joshua the high priest, I'm not going to hear a single word that the devil has to say about my son. If God can say that about you and about me, if God can say to the devil, I am not hearing a single word out of your mouth about my son or my daughter, shouldn't we, by his grace, be able to say to the devil, I am not hearing a single word out of your mouth about my father? Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray with you this evening. I want to pray that you take full advantages of all of the levels of protection that are around you. That you take full advantage of everything that God is doing to keep you. And that ultimately, tonight, we're just going to say no to the lie of the devil. We're not going to try and shout them down. We're not going to try. We're simply going to say, I'm just not hearing it. I don't have to listen, and I'm not going to listen. My ears are open only now to the truth of God, not to the lies of the devil. No long, drawn-out argument. One shot, it's over. No. That's it. Let's stand together in the house of the Lord. If God is speaking to you and you simply want to brush off, you just want to shrug off, as Paul did, remember that snake? Just shrug it off into the fire. No long drawn out into action, just shrug it right off. If God is speaking to you and you're saying, it's been a little bit difficult the last couple of days and I've been having some trouble wondering whether or not I could fulfill the call of God on my life. But I don't want to argue a lot, and I don't want to go through a lot. I just want to say no. No to the lie of the devil, and yes to the word of God. I want to take full advantage of all the layers of protection that are around me as a Christian person. God is speaking to you. Please come to the front of this auditorium. We will pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And God will bring great victory into your situation, and you will go on and fulfill the call of God on your life. Continue to come. We'll sing a song or two, and then we'll pray together in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you because we know that all these layers that we talked about ultimately can be summed up in one word, love. You love us. And you protect us, and you keep us. And there's a zeal in your heart, a jealousy for our souls that will not allow the devil to speak one word against your children. He might think that he can get a word in edgewise with us, but he knows he can't say a word to you. He knows that you've determined to lock him out and to not hear a single word. But you say no to the devil. We're only asking you, would you teach us to do the same? Because as surely as you said, I'm not going to listen to one word that you have to say about my son or my daughter. We want to be able to say, by your grace, to the enemy, I'm not going to listen to one word that you have to say about my God. My God is a true God, a covenant God, a keeping God, a God who loves me. And I'm not going to hear one lie about him. Lord, remind us that in order for us to believe a lie about ourselves, we have to believe a lie about God, about his keeping power, about his power to bring us from grace to grace and from glory to glory. And we refuse to believe any lie that says God has not done a sufficient work on the cross. A work sufficient enough to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to empower us to walk according to the will of God for our particular lives and for our lives as a community. We believe that you are who you say you are. So we say no to the lie of the devil. We realize that his only strength is the fact that we give him a minute or two of our attention. And so we say no to the lie of the devil. He has no strength in our lives. And we're going to be useful in your hands, oh God, to make it so that he has less and less strength in the lives of those who are lost. We're going to be your witnesses in this generation. We're going to go out and do what you call us to do, be who you call us to be, just because you called us to be it. Not because of any strength in ourselves, but because you called us to be it. When you said, let there be light, the light didn't question, the light didn't wonder, the light didn't worry, the light simply was. So likewise, we simply are, because you are who you are. And so we thank you for the privilege of saying yes to you and for reminding us of the responsibility that we have to say no to the devil so that we can go forth and do this thing that you've called us to do. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.